Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 31, Canto 4, Chapter 28. Ekai kasya bhavat tesham Rajan arbhudham 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 Bokshate yadvasha dhairair Mahi manvantaram param Ekai kasya bhavattesham Rajan arbhudham arbhudham Bokshate yadvasha dhairair Mahi manvantaram param Eka ekasya of each one abhavat there became tesham of them rajan O king arbudam 10 million arbudam 10 million bokshate is ruled yet whose vansha dharai by descendants mahi the whole world manu antaram up to the end of one manu param and afterward Translation, my dear King Prachini Bodhisat, the sons of Malaya Dvaja gave birth to many thousands and thousands. Arbhudam, 10 million. Anyway, thousands and thousands of sons and all of these have been protecting the entire world up to the end of one Manu's lifespan. Mahi manvantaram, and even afterward, param. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma. A manvantara. The lifespan of one Manu is given as 71 multiplied by 4,320,000 years. After one such Manu passes on, another Manu begins his lifespan. In this way, the life cycle of the universe is going on as one Manu follows another. The cult of Krishna consciousness is being imparted as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.1. Imam bivasvate yogam proktavam aham advayam avyayam vivasvan manave praha manur ikshvakave bravit. Translation. The Blessed Lord said, I instruct this imperishable science of yoga. I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivasvan, and Vivasvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. Vivasvan, the sun god, imparted Bhagavad Gita to one Manu, and this Manu imparted to his son, who imparted to yet another Manu, or at least through the cyclic succession it happened that way. No one should think that this Krishna consciousness movement is a new movement. As confirmed by Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a very, very old movement, for it has been passing down from one Manu to another. paragraph. Among Vaishnavas, there may be some difference of opinion due to everyone's personal identity, but despite all personal differences, the cult of Krishna consciousness must go on. We can see that under the instructions of Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj began preaching the Krishna consciousness movement in an organized way within the past 100 years. The disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj are all God brothers. And although there are some differences of opinion, and although we are not acting conjointly, every one of us is spreading this Krishna consciousness movement according to his own capacity and producing many disciples to spread it all over the world. As far as we are concerned, we have already started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and many thousands of Europeans and Americans have joined this movement. Indeed, it is spreading like fire. The cult of Krishna consciousness, based on the 9 principles of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam, will never be stopped. It will go on without distinction of caste, creed, color, or country. No one can check it. Paragraph. The word bokshate is very important in this verse. Just as a king gives protection to his citizens, these devotees, following the principles of devotional service, will give protection to all the people of the world. The people of the world are very much harassed by so-called religious principled swamis, yogis, karmis, and gyanis, but none of these can show the right way to become elevated to the spiritual platform. There are primarily 4 parties spreading devotional service all over the universe. Prabhupada's very fired up. These are the Ramanuja Sampradaya, the Madhva Sampradaya, the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, and the Nimbarka Sampradaya. The Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya in particular comes from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All these devotees are spreading this Krishna consciousness movement very widely and giving protection to innocent people who are being so much embarrassed by pseudo avatars, swamis, yogis, and others. There's a dash before, so pseudo-swami, pseudo-yogis, and others. End of purport. Well, first a little bit about what Prabhupada has written, and then I wanted to go to just some appreciation of how Prabhupada has taken this verse and expanded and directed its meaning to the preaching field, similar to the previous verse, the nine processes of devotional service have their preliminary 7. Prabhupada made that distinction, if you recall from yesterday, and then the final 2 are connected to raga bhakti. So 7 preliminary, then followed by raga bhakti, and then so those 7 sons, or the 7 processes, were the direct result of Malaya Dvaja's influence. We heard about Malaya Dvaja, great king, both powerful and a great devotee. So, a great devotee, whether a powerful king or not, a great devotee wants to engage in the process of devotional service, and a very powerful devotee will extend protection, spiritual protection to others, by propagating or extending those processes, distinguishing legitimate from not legitimate processes. You recall that from yesterday. So Prabhupada was speaking, great acharyas will do like that. And he referred to Madhvacharya Ramanujacharya being on this most elevated platform, propagating, you know, the seven processes. And, you know, these seven populated Dravida Desh, or South India. And Prabhupada remarked that in South India there was very strong, still very strong tendency towards hearing and chanting, the initial processes and worship and, you know, devotional life. There's other things too, for certain. So then it's incumbent upon those who receive that kind of association to then, to their capacity, extend the same opportunity. It was a preaching message. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, expanding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy through the Sankirtan movement, according to one's capacity, receive and give. So now, in this verse, the Arbudam, 10 million or thousands and thousands, this Prabhupada has taken it to indicate, because there's mention in the verse of Manvantara, the period of one Manu, and then afterwards, so that's a long time, 71 times 4,320,000, so that's a lot of lifetimes of spiritual personalities that are giving protection to citizens or people in general, not only in Kali Yuga but all the ages, because, you know, the implication of the living entity in matter, which we're all unfortunately too much familiar with, implication in matter is a disturbance. It disturbs the heart, it disturbs the mind, it disturbs the life, it disturbs the life heirs, we disturb other people, other people disturb us. Where's the protection? So the protection from the Lord comes through this propagation. So great personalities do that. Devotees, whether great or not, also assist those who are great to do that. That's what we do. We assist our founder Acharya in whatever way that we can to our capacity. And it's nice. It has its challenges because, you know, there's a lot of unclean lives and hearts that we contact, and, you know, it may look nice initially, and then there's, you know, impurities of different varieties and descriptions. Abundant in Kali Yuga, but in any age. So, challenges are there, and that's okay. It's a life of service. So Prabhupada has taken this verse in that direction. Inspiring. This is what he did, and this is what a great personality does. He inspires those who are followers to assist him. And then, following the mood of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, being very gracious towards the other sampradayas. Meaning, although there are differences, first it was differences amongst, you know, Prabhupada would sometimes speak otherwise about the Gaudiya Math, the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta, they spoiled everything. Here in this purport he's saying, oh, according to their capacity, there's differences and we're not cooperating. But according to the capacity, they're serving the same purpose of giving, hearing, and chanting to others. So, very gracious. And then he extends that to the four sampradayas. And they are also. And the purpose of their doing also is to give protection. Protection doesn't mean, you know, military protection. It means spiritual protection from pseudo this and that's. Pseudo-religionists and pseudo-this and that, and my goodness, it's abundant. And with media and advertising and propaganda, a fool may become a prominent person. Prabhupada speaks in a different context about how media works. know, some insignificant nobody can do some awful thing and all of a sudden, you know, everybody knows about him. Or somebody that did next to nothing and they're promoted in the media and then everybody knows about that person. So, you know, it's information technology has its ways of bringing to the attention of people something that's just literally obscure. Or worse, something that's literally abominable. And then it becomes prominent. In any case, the emphasis that's given by Prabhupada is a preacher's emphasis. An acharya expanding Krishna consciousness message. He's indicating, you know, there's the way. Here's the path. There's the goal. Here's the means. Let's go. He's leading people to the path of hearing and chanting and these seven processes by his purport. So now, I wanted to share a little bit because just this morning I read, and I'll read for your benefit, the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on this and the previous verse. And the time was different, the audience was different, the purpose of his commentary was different. It was elevation and edification, not the same as world conquest of spreading Krishna consciousness. In this, there's a trailer for Yadubar's documentary on Prabhupada's life, the one that's supposed to be for the public, and there's a phrase in it that it's really moving. It's showing different scenes, you know, graphically presented that's, it captures your eye. And then the voiceover says, from the very beginning, he wanted to embrace the whole world. Now, how do you embrace the whole world? You have to have really big arms. But that's what he wanted to do, to uplift the world. From the very beginning, the seed was the world, the seed of desire, of making sacrifice for the benefit of others. It wasn't just like his family, or his family and friends, or his village, or his clan, his gotra, or India. It was the world from the very beginning. And how did he get that vision? Bhaktisiddhanta. And how did Bhaktisiddhanta get that vision? Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And how did Bhaktivinoda Thakur get the vision? From the previous acharyas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such a great acharya. Such a visionary personality. I spent some time speaking about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Powerful. He revived Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement when it had become, by neglect, a disgrace. There's a devotee, disciple of Bhakti Chuu Swami, professor in Calcutta at a university. Chaitanya Das. Do you know Chaitanya Das? You don't know. Many, 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 many of our leading devotees know Chaitanya Das because he had a, you know, nice big house right near the airport, and many Bhakti Chuu Maharaj instructed him, host people when they come. So, I mean, we had a show of hands at our recent GBC meeting. How many people have stayed at Chaitanya Das's house? And almost everybody raised their hand. Very nice man. Very, very generous. He has a health issue, like a very critical health issue right now, so it was like offer prayers for Chaitanya Das. But he shared with me, as a professor, you know, an educated man, grew up in Calcutta and so forth, when he heard of Prabhupada and the Hare Krishna movement, he was attracted. But when he found that it was connected to Lord Chaitanya,
He told me. I pulled back. Because this was during his youth, and that's not so long ago. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a bad name. What to speak of at Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time? Because things had just deteriorated. Without a prominent personality or personalities giving leadership. It deviated 13 different upa sampradayas with their sub-branches. 13 different varieties of nonsense in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it was a disgrace what some of them were doing in the name of followers of Lord Chaitanya. So he had Lord Chaitanya, for this Bengali professor, had a bad name till he understood who Prabhupada was, and then in turn who Lord Chaitanya was really, and what his teachings were really, and so it was uphill, in short. And what to speak of during Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time. So the world was the field of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Many examples, but here's two. He sent an English language to universities all over the world, that is, out of the expense of his own pocket, a little book, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His Life and Precepts. He felt the educated people of the world should know who is Lord Chaitanya. The world. And then another out of so many examples. He wrote, the day will come when people will learn Bengali so that they can read the mother tongue of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, Chaitanya Bhagavata and Chaitanya Charitamrita. The day will come, this is like his vision, the day will come when people from all over the world, Russia and Africa and China and Europe and America, will come together on the streets of Navadvip and chant Jai Sachi Nandana, Jai Sachi Nandana. At a time when it was rice fields and, you know, in ill repute. He was a visionary. And he passed on that inspirational vision to whoever he came in contact with, because he was empowered. And he wasn't a pushy man. He was a gentle persuasion man. Very elegant, very refined, very powerful. There's so many nice examples in his life. And he passed it on to Bhaktisiddhanta, who passed it on to Prabhupada, who's passing it on to us. Now, in the line of disciplic succession, following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know there's the Sikh Goswamis first, Rupa and Sanatan, then Jiva Goswami, and then Srinivasachari, Naratam, and Shamananda. And then, you know, there's a few, but there's like many generations of gap. Naratamananda is in that, but then there's like a long, there's like 5-6 generations of gap. And then comes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So during that period of time, it went down a whole lot. When he went to Vrindavan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur went to Vrindavan, what happens when, you know, through the passage of 5-6 generations, whatever that is, 100 years, without a qualified person or group of persons upholding the teachings, things went down. Things were like, you know, like ghost town. It was scary. And so that means something else was there. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his role wasn't the world mission. His role was, at least, you know, the way that he wrote, was purity and profound and depth of devotion and precision in giving the bhakti message from every purport that he wrote in Srimad Bhagavatam. His calling or his gift or his particular service at that particular time was what I just described. Later, through the advancement of transportation and technology and so forth, and you know, Goal Over the World became the idea. There were printing presses during Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, during Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's time. There weren't. So it was, you know, the teacher. You go to the teacher and he gives teachings. And he wrote. And then people, you know, making copies was by hand. It's slow. You know, to get a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam was major. So, and commentary on every single verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's major. So his mission was different, and here's just some appreciation in these two verses of how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Well, I'll cover 29, 30, 31. This morning's verse is 31, yes? Okay, so 29 verse. Intelligent Malaya Dvaja, the king who married Vidarbhi, the daughter of King Vidarbha. Intelligent Malaya Dvaja, conqueror of enemy cities, after defeating other kings in battle, married the daughter of the king of Vidarbha as prize for his chivalry. Apparently he conquered King of Vidarbha, and here's my daughter in marriage. The purport. As long as the jiva does not have bhakti, he cannot be delivered from samsara. Bhakti is spontaneous. It arises from association with devotees by spontaneous mercy of devotees. That is shown in Paranjana's next life as Vidarbhi, where he, now as a woman, attained association with a devotee, Malaya Dvaja, through marriage, Malaya Dvaja. So, this Paranjana king, who was too attached, became a woman, but by association with a devotee, the woman became a devotee. Through marriage. Malaya Dvaja means the best, or Dvaja, among the devotees, who are equal to the Malaya mountain range, since they are worthy of the same worship. Upayeme, that's a Sanskrit term meaning married, can also mean accepting to be a student. So she became a student of Malaya Dvaja. She married him. She became his student of him. Virya Panam, or prize for valor, can also mean no one else could be accepted as a teacher because he had great mercy as his power, parentheses, virya. So mercy is powerful. We may not be so powerful, but the message is powerful, and if we try to distribute the message for the right purpose, not, you know, get a score after our name or something, or it's, you know, some sense of conquest, but give Krishna consciousness in a compassionate mood. There's power in that. Great power. So then he quotes a verse from the 11th canto Bhagavatam, Krishna's instruction to Uddhava. One who is situated in his prescribed duty, free from sinful activities and cleansed of material contamination, in this very life obtains transcendental knowledge, or by fortune, devotional service unto me. Then he quotes another verse from the 10th canto, chapter 51. When the material life of a wandering soul has ceased, O Achyuta, he may attain the association of your devotees. And when he associates with them, there awakens in him devotion unto you, who are the goal of the devotees and the Lord of all causes and their effects. This is a verse, I didn't look it up, I'm just familiar with the verse. It's Muchukunda speaking to Krishna after Muchukunda, you know, zapped and cindered Kalyavana. And then he sees Krishna, who are you? And Krishna says, I'm the personality of Godhead. And he then, he's honoring how he became so fortunate. And Jiva Goswami says, when someone, this, a way of honoring the result is to place the outcome of the result before the result. Excuse me, the cause of the result, excuse me. The outcome of the cause before, as if it was the cause of the result. So, in other words, that's a type of alankar or literary ornament. So what it means is, the proper understanding is, when you get association of devotees and then engage in devotional service, then you become very fortunate. You become detached from worldly existence. So he's flipped it around. When you get a detachment from worldly existence, you may get the association of devotees. It's a literary ornament. It's honoring how valuable it is to get the association of devotees, because so many nice things come from it. He puts the effect before the cause. Anyway, these verses show that bhakti arises in the jiva in some birth from sudden association with a devotee. Malaya Devaja has defeated other kings. This means that he had uprooted all sins, offenses, time, and karma. Now, bhakti has that power, and one who is carrying bhakti, not that we're powerful, the process of bhakti is powerful, and it imparts that power unto others just by compassionate association. That's what we're supposed to do. So he's describing it in a philosophical way, not like, hey, let's get out there and, you know, preach Krishna consciousness. Okay. Para Puranjaya, another word in verse 29, means he who conquered the cities of enemies, or he who cut the doubts arising from other philosophies. That's the point that Prabhupada emphasized. It's the duty of the acharya, and it's the duty of the followers of the acharya, according to our capacity, to address the doubts of other people so that the path of bhakti becomes open. Next, so text 30. This is just appreciating Vishwanath and appreciating how Prabhupada did what he did and Vishwanath did what he did. So text 30. In her, that's the wife of Malaya Dwaja, he begot a daughter named Asi Takshana and seven younger sons who became kings of seven southern provinces. Vishwanath's commentary. Asi Takshana was the daughter's name. So Vidarbhi was the wife and Asi Takshana was the daughter's name. It can also mean she who received the glance of Krishna. Asita. Prabhupada has taken that her eyes were blackish because she was seeing Krishna. And this is the other way. Krishna very kindly showed himself to her. He received Krishna, she received Krishna's glance. Krishna was kind upon her. Thus it means one who has a taste for serving Krishna. So to have a taste for serving Krishna, that's mercy. And we read, wasn't it on Friday evening? Yeah, Friday evening about, huh?
Saturday evening.
Bhagavatam installation. Yeah, okay, yes, Saturday evening, Bhagavatam installation, right. About a taste for serving Krishna is the seed that one gets from the spiritual master, that is, this taste for service. By the mercy of Guru, the jiva develops a taste for serving Krishna. Nice, huh? The seven sons were born later. They are these processes of bhakti. Because friendship and full surrender are difficult in the beginning and will appear spontaneously later, they are not mentioned. Like that. The sons were kings of southern provinces. The southern provinces are renowned for prominence of bhakti, hearing and chanting. The seven processes ruled like kings, having subdued karma, gyan, and other processes. Very nice. And now this morning's verse. Translation of the verse. Each of them had tens of millions of children. That's these seven. The descendants of whom ruled the earth during Manu's period and after. Short commentary. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, the seven sons had many sons and grandsons. This also means that the processes, like hearing, can each be subdivided into hearing the name, hearing the pastimes, or the qualities. Or they can be divided according to worship of different avatars. Or they can be divided according to different rasas. Thus there are innumerable subdivisions of each process. That's his rendering of the tens of millions of sons. Then to support this, he quotes the next chapter, 329:7. Bhakti appears in many forms by particular actions in a person according to his intentions. Swabhava guna margena. The intentions of men are classified by the actions of the gunas arising from one's nature. Last part. Just two sentences. The descendants are the different sampradayas. They ruled the whole earth. This means that the earth was protected from ignorance and materialistic karma yoga. So his mission was to revive the proper understanding, and with proper understanding, proper regard and respect for the bhakti process that had been, dissipated during his time. So that was his calling, and that's what he did. And then some Baladev, his student, and Jagannath Das Babaji, and hearing from Baladev, and so forth, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur hearing from Jagannath Das Babaji, and like that, the disciplic succession carrying on. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a very special person. Very special person. Very special person. As far as, the mission, the worldwide mission, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also envisioned, and he picked up and he sent it forward, and he passed it on to his son, and he passed it on to Prabhupada, who you know, we're supposed to be the recipients of that message. Both have their place, having a clear understanding of the bhakti process, how it works, the effect that it has, if one receives it from the proper source and applies it in one's life, and then carries it forward in what we do. We're protected from misguided teachings and teachers, and we don't have to worry about it. We're protected. And to our capacity, we can clarify. We don't have to carry a club in our hand and bash people, but we can clarify, misconceptions without getting into, anecdotal ways that that can be done. Each of us in our own, Krishna sends to us experiences where if our hearts are pure, that is to say, we're in a proper service mood, and we can understand we have a service on behalf of our founder Acharya. He's literally requesting that we give the one simple way is just give the process of devotional service without necessarily, pulling the rug out from under misunderstandings. You don't have to do that. Not like an obligation. Right off the bat, you meet somebody and, get on their case about their misunderstandings. Just engage them in the process of chanting and taking prasadam and associating with devotees in kirtan and arti and, hearing. And gradually, that's certainly one approach. Just have gatherings of devotees that do devotional things, and through relationships with those people, help them according to their willingness to be helped, help them with understandings, proper understandings. I'll end with this, looking at the clock. On the flight back from India to America, the man sitting next to me was a motel owner from El Paso, Texas, an Indian man, a Gujarati man, who had motel Gitas in his motel, Bhagavad Gitas from ISKCON. Although he was a follower of Chinmayananda Mission, and so, he just started a discussion. He saw my bead bag and said, are you with ISKCON? And then we got into a discussion. That's his first question was, why is it that ISKCON has so much emphasis? Did I mention this the other night? Why is there so much emphasis on kirtan? Go on the internet and, Hare Krishna movement and, there's all these YouTube things about kirtan. What's that? Because Chinmayananda, it's not so much kirtan, it's study Bhagavad Gita with an impersonal message. Very, bluntly. An impersonal message. And it's, popular. And they especially target children, get the children impersonalists so then the parents will become impersonalists. That's their emphasis. Anyway, I said, two things. One is emphasis on kirtan because it's yoga dharma. It gave examples of scripture and stuff. So that's what we do. But the mission, ISKCON, the Prabhupada gave, there's seven principles, and each one of them has to do with training and education. And we do training and education a whole bunch. Come visit one of our temples and you'll find out about the training and education opportunities. Said, I just, recently, in the course of some time, completed a seminar that had 50 hours of discussion, questions and answers on a small book with 62 verses, 61 verses. I said, oh, so you do that too? I said, yeah, we do that too. And then, in the course of the discussion, I was just because he's a man that knows something and likes studying, I was, not purposely, just naturally opened the gate of making reference to some verses from Bhagavad Gita because he knew Bhagavad Gita or thought he knew Bhagavad Gita. And he said, wow, you know Sanskrit. I said, well, I don't read Sanskrit, but I've learned just from hearing. He said, oh, that's really good, you know, because he likes study, and you know Sanskrit. I said, well, you know, you have an advantage, and I have an advantage. And you have a disadvantage, and I have a disadvantage. So what's that? You have natural attraction for spiritual teachings and things like that, you know, Krishna, Bhagavad Gita. I didn't even hear the title Bhagavad Gita until I was, you know, college kid. And, you know, in the West, we don't have that, and you have a great advantage. And, you know, you're in land of Punya Bhumi. It's going, yeah, Punya Bhumi. And I said, but the disadvantage is you have so many misconceptions. And I was like a blank slate. I said, you know, everything that I heard was new. I said, like, I just gave the example, like, sadhana. You know, I never heard the word sadhana before, and so I hear sadhana, and, you know, 15 different perspectives. Now I know what sadhana means. And you hear sadhana, you already have an idea. I said, Prabhupada said, it's like teaching a person a musical instrument already thinks they know how to play the musical instrument. It's more difficult for the teacher to teach the person who thinks they already know, because they have to unlearn other stuff to learn the proper stuff. He said, yeah, I can understand what you're saying. I have so many conceptions. So, when we interact with somebody that has so many conceptions, because the mind carries, according to Bhagavad Gita, the mind carries different conceptions. Everyone has a mind, and every mind has conceptions. So we meet people that have conceptions that aren't pure bhakti. It's no surprise there's going to be some, you know, difference. And the calling that Srila Prabhupada has given is, and in his own way, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it's just set the proper example. Do the hearing and chanting in a proper way and teach by example. Do like in the discussion with this man from El Paso, Texas. He wanted to go watch movies. I wanted to chant japa. So I was thinking maybe I could comment to him, but I didn't. I said, you know, the advantage of the holy name is here's a shelter, and if you don't have that shelter, you look for some other shelter. What do you think? I thought of saying something like that, but I didn't want to, like, step on his toes, so I didn't. So, but at least set an example. Be an example of what our teachings say. And that's powerful. That there's innate power in that bhakti example. So I'm going to end. It's 8:48. Any discussion, comments, questions? Hare Krishna.
It was very nice, like yesterday you gave the updates of the DVC.
Yeah.
It was like more secure and more confident, and also we know what our society movement is.
Well, yeah, I just gave you a little, you know, sampler, that's all. There's a lot behind that.
Yeah, but you send us the email through the reports and everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, so it's relevant because, my goodness, you all are going to have to do it. Prabhupada made it very clear that he wanted the GBC to, you know, be the final authority. And we haven't been very good at communicating what we're up to. Not that we've been doing nothing. We just haven't been communicating it.
Yeah. So it was very nice yesterday when you communicated that thing also. So, I was, as Prabhu said yesterday, it was like overwhelming with all other different ideas, with a lot of different categories and, you know, all that.
Roll up your sleeves and help. You can start with ISKCON 50. Make a plan and carry it out. That's one, you know, one piece of this, you know, weighty thing that we're carrying. Go ahead.
So now we have on the planet, like, a lot of strong devotees, pure devotees and all that. So I was contemplating, like...
So become a pure devotee. Become one.
So after today's class, you know, I was just contemplating on the I was after the third generation, or after 50 years or more than that, you know, how the leaders,
yeah,
need a strong leaders with fear and more strong.
So become that. As to your capacity. Each of us, not just you. Each of us. That's the mandate.
So, so that we, this society at this moment would have a strong protection from, you know, the...
Yeah, so I'm looking at the clock and thinking, I've got to do some things before I leave. So, who's the driver?
Michael.
Okay, so 9:35 come for the bags, and 9:40 we're pulling out. So I've got to keep track of time. Prabhupada understood that amongst his followers, two things. Amongst his followers, there was not one person who could successfully be the acharya. And second, it wasn't the model that Bhaktisiddhanta wanted. And he was a follower of Bhaktisiddhanta. So he created, you know, a group of persons that would cooperate together. And those group of persons cooperating together need many, many, many persons. You know, that, you know, this whole layer, the zonal supervisor, and so many persons. So according to capacity, one should do, become pure and assist internally and externally. And that's the message overall. Same as this purport from this morning. Same as last night. Same as, you know, how to internalize all of this weighty stuff. You know, just stretch out your hand and help. To capacity. And Krishna will engage you. Each of us. Anyone else?
If you have time, I just have one thought.
Sure.
Something I've been thinking about is this phrase by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, preaching is the essence. And we understand that bhakti is the essence. And I've been thinking about how preaching is the essence. Have you could comment on that?
Sure. You receive bhakti and you give it. And that's the essence. So it's not... It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't emphasize be hollow and give nothing. You know, receive Krishna consciousness and give Krishna consciousness. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we're followers. So the essence is, how can you preach? How can you give if you haven't received? So it's built in. But, you know, the emphasis, don't just receive Bhaktisiddhanta. You know, don't just become an imitator of Haridas Thakur and go in Nirjan Bhajan in solitude and chant and feel proud of yourself that, oh, I'm chanting like Haridas Thakur. But, you know, give. Preaching is the essence. It's, you know, it's the implied. It's implicit, it's not explicit. You can't give what you don't have. So receive and then give. It's the external based upon the internal. You have something always.
There's been a lot of emphasis on preaching in the last part of the classes. So, you know, one of the challenges with the demographics of what we see today within Islam is primarily Indian NRI. So when you bring someone from a different culture into, you know, a Sunday feast setting, for example, it's a challenge.
Yes, yeah, a challenge.
And it's a self-fulfilling kind of, you know, because, you know, Indians attract Indians, you know, but then there's these other persons that could be attracted but feel a little culturally out of place.
Yes. Sure. It's a role reversal. You know, Prabhupada tried to start Krishna consciousness in India. Didn't go anywhere. Came to America. Didn't go anywhere for a while. And then it exploded. Hare Krishna explosion. And then, you know, Indian families, we didn't have a congregation for maybe a decade. And then, you know, so many things happened without all the history. The financial structure, which was had deviated from what Prabhupada had given collapsed. So we needed financial structure. So we turned to the Indian community and started extending our hand kindly and, you know, carefully to our Indian community. So now, and then, you know, the pendulum swung the other way without all the in-between histories. So now, so the Americans preach to the Indians in America, and now the Indians in America need to preach to the Americans because we don't have Americans. So just two suggestions, maybe three. One, somebody who really has a sense of this, the Indian community reaching out to the Western community, is Ananda Vrindavan in Potomac. She does it kind of like, you know, her own way. That's how the kind of person she is. And, but you know, she's put a lot of thought and she's, you know, got a plan in doing that. So, you know, just network with people that have such an idea on a temple level. Second, we're having this thing in, this seminar, first weekend of May, of specifically on the topic, you know, so how to do it. And the third is, you know, with you, the service that you and your husband have, there is a prime way to reach, and you know, as far as I know, you're NRIs, you and your husband. So that's okay because, you know, you're relatable and you're presenting things in a relatable way. And so, you know, it works. So do what you're doing and as a temple understand how other successful models are attempting, just in a seed-like way, and you know what they're doing. Like those topics that I sent, it's specifically for Western people. Even on the Ram Nomi weekend, how to make it relatable to Western people, new Western people, so they're comfortable. You know, the topic went through three different stages to get something that, you know, she asked me for a topic, and I gave a topic that wasn't relatable, so she rejected it. Come up with a better one that's more relatable. So I came up with a better one. Now she scripted her own topics. She's like, you know, she's got her hand on the steering wheel, this lady. And, you know, she has an idea of reaching the Western public. And one of the speakers is Dev Amrita Maharaj of those three topics. You can look at the topics. It's, you know, you can tell who it is. Anutama is the first one, I'm the second one, and he's the third one. It's something we need to do. I mean, we need to do. Prabhupada didn't come to America to reach the non-resident Indians in America and make them Krishna conscious. He didn't say, you know, the heck with you people. He didn't do that either. But he wanted to reach. So, you now have an opportunity. We all have an opportunity to reach other than, you know, say the Western public, other than the non-resident Indian members.
Maharaj, has some thought been put into, you know, besides like, reaching out, some kind of like a cultural training for the community for when a person comes into the community, like for Sunday feast, what can we do together to make that experience a little less cultural shock and a little more integrative?
The only thing that I know of is subgroups. They come in for a kirtan and then hold the class for the Spanish people, hold the class for the young American people, you know, as a person that can speak their language or, so that's something. And then, you know, in general, the welcome mat, you know, treat people warmly, regardless of their body type, and they're like Prabhupada, you know, regardless of creed, color, something. So, but training only as far as we got was the welcome mat and, you know, how to make everyone feel welcome. But obviously, a young American comes into a Hare Krishna temple that's 98% non-resident Indian. Do I fit in here? So it depends on if there's warmth. And, you know, a regardless of their position, kind of warmth, acceptance. I mean, you know, yeah, without carrying on any further. You all can discuss, you know, if it's important to you. There's, using Gopal Bhatta's phrase, there's deliverables. There's a welcome mat deliverable. And, you know, within that has, you know, answer or things that can be done. It you know, it just has to be pulled off the shelf, dusted off, and, you know, then just explore it with people that are interested and then start some education process on how we can do this. And naturally, because of the service that you have, you're more sensitized to it than those that don't have the service that you have. I mean, because you're a broad-thinking person, you'll think about it anyways, but the service that you have is going to sensitize you more, naturally. And that's good. And then, you know, some education, like you say, there's there's not a curriculum, but there's a tool. And to get the tool, contact Kaladri. I'm sure it's, you know, it's somewhere in a dusty shelf somewhere. You have it. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.